Kelly Bonner, and welcome to QueenCast, the show where we interview badass queens about body image, business, and beyond. What's up, friends? Welcome back to QueenCast. I am very excited about today's episode. Today, we're going to talk all about how to grow your account on Instagram. So, you know, I'm no social media genius. I will definitely start out by saying that, but there are a few things that I've learned here and there along the way that I think would be helpful for you guys if you're looking to grow your business online or just grow your social presence on Instagram. So first things first, and I know this is cliche as hell, but it is so true. Be yourself. You have to be so you online that it hurts. You can't be this, you know, cooler version than yourself. You can't be a funnier version than yourself. Well, you can, but you know, you really just have to be so authentic and so true to yourself, because otherwise it's just not going to last. It's not sustainable to live this double life online, in my opinion. And you know, when I first started my account, I definitely did that. I, you know, thought I had to wear super cool clothes. I had to be this like cool girl on Instagram, right? I had to be an influencer. I had to wear makeup and look presentable and pretty all the time. And like, it's just not me, yo. Like, I am not super cool. You know, I'm a little weird, a little quirky, and I don't love wearing makeup. I wear it occasionally, but you know, most of the time I'm just chilling in athleisure and I'm cool with that, you know? And I promise you, there is a niche for everything. You know, be yourself and the audience who resonates with your message will come. So if you're super introverted and, you know, you don't really want to show your face, you don't have to. You can do, you know, educational videos that never really show you, but it's, you know, maybe it's a tasty style recipe video that's just showing how to do something, or, you know, a DIY arts and crafts type of thing. Like, there's so many things you can do that don't revolve around you as like the influencer. Or if that is your jam and you're, you know, super outgoing and witty and like to entertain, you know, you can go kind of the TikTok route and do like dancing videos, or, you know, really make you the center of your account. All right, tip number two, you have to be consistent AF. I posted every single day for the first 2 years, every single day, didn't miss a day, 6 a.m. on the dot, posted. You know, there were days where I woke up, didn't want to post, wanted to throw my phone out the window. You know what I did? I posted anyway. Now, I'm going to caveat this by saying that mental health and, you know, taking social media detoxes is very important. I am very strong proponent of not having, you know, your phone 24/7 or really trying to just, you know, be on technology more than you have to be. That said, I think there is something to being really consistent if you do want to grow your audience. So now I'm at the place where, you know, been doing this for a couple years, and I do take weekends off. I do take social media detoxes, and I just listen to myself. You know, you really have to tune in and know yourself, and if, you know, the stress of having to post every single day really takes a toll on you, then, you know, post every other day, post every 2 days, and every account is different. You know, I have friends who post multiple times a day, and influencing is their full-time job, and they're okay with that, but, you know, you really have to test the waters, and I think at the end of the day, just putting out high quality content is most important. Which brings me to number three, providing value. So, you know, I hate to be that person, but I'm just going to say this. No one actually cares about you. And before you take that the wrong way, before you switch, you know, podcasts and exit out of this, hear me out here. People are just very, very self-interested, right? So, you know, if you're sharing about your skincare routine, you know, people who are watching that actually aren't interested in your particular skincare routine, or the way that you enjoy your skincare routine, or how it, you know, makes you happy. Like, they don't really care about that. You know, the reason that they're watching it is actually because they see that your skin is glowing like a motherfucking diamond. It is shiny as hell. It looks spotless, beautiful, and clear. And, you know, they're looking at their skin and they're like, I want her skin. So, you know, I'm gonna see what she's doing and how can I take some of that and apply it to my own life. So really, before I click publish on any type of content that I post, I'm always asking myself, What value is this bringing? You know, is someone going to find this useful? Is someone going to find this entertaining or educational? Is this going to spark joy in someone's life? Is this going to make someone feel seen or heard? So, you know, really before you hit publish on that selfie where you're looking hot as hell, you know, not saying you can never post a selfie, definitely do it from time to time, but, you know, really ask yourself, what value is this bringing for someone? If you're going to post a selfie, you know, at least tag the makeup you're wearing, or tag, you know, your earrings, or provide value for someone rather than just like, hey, look how hot I look in this picture, you know? All right, last tip, tip number four. Patience, my friend. You must have patience. Growing a following on social media, it just, man, it takes time. It is a slow build. And there are definitely things you can do to expedite. I think, you know, it's so much easier to go viral these days, especially on TikTok. And then, you know, say you go viral on TikTok and you get some followers that transfer over to Instagram, stuff like that. I think it does help kind of expedite those things. I've had a couple, you know, of my Instagram reels go viral, and that has helped. You know, I've gotten a couple thousand followers in a few day period, which is unusually high for me. But overall, it's a pretty slow build. Like, you know, I've been doing this for about 3 years now. And, you know, to me, I feel like being at, I don't even know how many followers I have right now, but almost, I think, 60,000, you know, that feels slow to me personally. About 20K a year, it feels slow because, you know, you look around and you see all these people with millions of followers, right? Another hack, you could go on The Bachelor. I just thought about that. I feel like, you know, getting on The Bachelor or being a Bachelor contestant is really just a surefire way to become an influencer. It's really a fast track, so to speak. It may ruin your reputation and may, you know, prevent you from getting any future, you know, serious corporate roles, but, you know, that's a risk that you have to be willing to take. And never, never, ever buy followers. It is not worth it. I have never bought a single follower. I actually didn't even know you could buy followers until very recently when I learned about this. And it just makes zero sense to me. I mean, the whole point of growing a following online is, you know, building a community of people who are invested in, you know, what you're talking about and what you're sharing. And yes, I mean, follower count, I guess, is important to an extent when you're working with brands or, you know, whatnot. But, you know, now brands are pretty savvy. Like, they'll look at your, you know, if you have a million followers and you get two comments per post, like, I mean, you know, something's a little fishy there. You might just be buying a bunch of robots to follow you, which just also feels a little embarrassing, in my opinion. So just don't do it. All right. So now I'm going to pull up some questions you guys sent in from Instagram. They are all amazing. And I'm going to try and blow through these pretty quickly and just be as succinct as possible with my answers. All right, first question is a banger. So using stories versus feed posts, which one do I do? Do I need to do stories with not that many followers? Great question. So zooming out a bit, I would really think of your feed as the way you're going to attract new customers, quote unquote customers, followers, and your stories are going to be the way you're going to engage your audience. So the feed is really where, you know, things can land on the explore page and go viral, right? Like, a story will never go viral. And it's going to be the way that people find you if you use hashtags or if you, you know, tag other companies and they repost you. So the feed is really your way of growing your following. But that said, you can't just gain a bunch of new followers and then, you know, leave them in the dark, right? Like, they really want to learn more about you. You have to nurture them. You have to show them who you're about, what you enjoy, what you're like, you know, what is your personality like? And I'm obsessed with stories. I think stories are so fun. I personally don't even scroll my feed. I just watch people's stories because it's just so real and raw. And it's, you know, you get to see their behind the scenes, right? Like, I think gone are the days of these sort of glossy, aesthetic, you know, very curated feeds. And people are really searching for that raw, that realness, that behind the scenes. So in conclusion, you really need a mixture of both. If I were to pick one to really put more time and effort into, I would say your feed posts, especially as you're starting out. You know, you really want to grow, and then as you get more followers, start to nurture with stories. And this leads perfectly into my next question, which is, how do I get more comfortable talking to my phone and talking to the camera on stories? So, girl, I feel you. It is awkward as hell. I mean, I still do not talk to my phone or do not talk on stories when I'm in public. I even feel weird sometimes if Eric is in the room listening. He's probably not even, you know, looking or listening at me, but there's something just embarrassing to me about talking to my phone. And so I am still super weird about it. That said, if you are, you know, alone in your room and you feel embarrassed talking to your phone there, I think you could probably work on that. I really think there's so much value in people seeing your face, and, you know, it's just human nature. We want to see another human's face, and that's really the way that we connect. And it's very engaging, you know, versus just seeing sort of the first person point of view. If you're just showing kind of what you're doing and things around you, I think people really love seeing, you know, your face and talking to the camera. That said, you know, it's a very fine line. Like, I wouldn't just do, you know, 20 million stories day in and day out of me just kind of like blabbing on at the camera. And subtitles are very important. I think many of us watch stories when we're commuting or, you know, with other people and necessarily don't have the volume on. So I've gotten lots of feedback that people really appreciate when I subtitle my stories. It does take a little bit longer, but in the long run, I just think it's a really good habit to get into. All right, question number two. Do you use a scheduling app to plan out your posts? So that's an amazing question. No, I don't. And here's why. So some people do. I think that's great. You really have to know yourself, know your schedule, know your personality type. I think it's a little better suited, in my opinion, for maybe a business account where it's, you know, just a little bit easier to sort of plan out that content. For me, I really think there's so much value in, you know, putting the Insta back in Instagram, as cheesy as that sounds. You know, I think we've gotten so used to just doing these really aesthetic, you know, curated posts. And there's just so much beauty in being, you know, really in the moment. And I remember one of the best posts I ever did, it wasn't, you know, it didn't go viral or anything, but it was a post I was really proud of, was after I had, you know, binged on a jar of peanut butter, and it was a really dark moment for me. I, you know, was a few years out of my recovery. I thought I was quote unquote, you know, healed and doing so well with food. And suddenly out of the blue, I had this really crazy binge episode. And immediately, you know, rather than spiraling downward like I would have in the past and probably just crying myself to sleep or, you know, something else depressing, I took a selfie. I took a picture of myself in my kitchen immediately after I had binged. And it was just this very raw photo. You know, it wasn't curated. My hair was a mess. I, you know, my eyes were red from crying. And I posted it, and the caption was literally just in the moment, you know, "Hey guys, I just binged on peanut butter, and you know, here's what happened, and here's how I'm feeling." And I think there's something so powerful about doing that. And obviously, not every post is going to be like that, but you know, I usually get inspiration for posts in, you know, random times throughout the day. So maybe my morning walk. I do a lot of beach walks in the morning, and it's just time for me to unplug and just really get inside my head and think about what, you know, I want to talk about that day. And so, if I were to plan out a post, I think it just wouldn't work for me, because I would probably get to, you know, plan everything out on Monday, get to a Friday and be like, I just don't really feel like talking about that, like not in the mood. But some people, you know, really thrive off that structure and routine. So you kind of have to know what works best for you. But some apps that I've heard of that really help with scheduling, one is called Planoly and the other one is Plan, P-L-A-N-N. So not affiliated with either, but just heard that they work great. All right, question three is such a good one, happens to us all. What happens if your post gets less likes, and how to not let that get to your head? So, amazing question, and I would love to know the answer too. Honestly, it happens to all of us. I think, you know, with the algorithm constantly changing, and, you know, for me personally, Instagram is the way that I make money, so it's hard not to let, you know, poor performing posts not go to your head, right? And I think the biggest thing is just, you know, taking a step back and really remembering that social media is just a game. It's just this silly app that, you know, this tech engineer thought of up in the Silicon Valley. And, you know, now it's something that really is ingrained in all of our lives. But remembering that it's not reality, you know, it's not real life. And to bring it full circle, social media detoxes help a ton with this. If you're feeling like you're getting so bogged down in the numbers, you know, take a few days off of social media, spend time with friends, spend time with loved ones, get into nature, and then realize, wow, you know, I was really worried about, you know, having less likes on one post. I think there are times where, you know, I've put so much work and so much effort into a post and it completely flops. And then the posts where I spend like little to no energy on go viral. So, you know, there's just some luck with social media that you can't control. And I think just knowing that and realizing that has helped me really relax around it and just, you know, try to have as much fun as I can, you know, put out content that's valuable, that I'm passionate about, that I feel creative while I'm making it. And if it doesn't do well, it's fine. You know, I brush myself off, I move on. And lastly, you know, it's a first world problem. I'm going to be just completely a little harsh with you on that. and it's something I need to remind myself of too. It's like, you know, some people don't have access to food and clean water. I know this is sort of random and just like a weird thing to throw in there, but really, like, if we get upset about, you know, likes on social media, like there are so many bigger problems in the world that we could direct our energy towards. So I really just don't waste my energy on that. But again, all feelings are valid. Totally understand where you're coming from. But it's just something to kind of keep in mind when it happens next time. Okay, and last question, and then I'm going to wrap this up. So for those of you who have a business or some sort of product or service, this might be, might apply to you, but how often do you talk about your product or your business or your service versus just sharing sort of everyday stuff? So this question is kind of, I'm going to take it into two parts. So first of all, I mean, you have to really decide, am I going to have a personal Instagram account or a business account? And I actually separated mine back when I started this. So Avo Queen is, you know, sort of my, it was started as my recovery, like wellness account. And then I actually have my personal account that I use in college or, you know, before, which is just my name, Allie Bonner. And I don't post on that anymore. It's just like my college friends, they're like, yeah, Allie, we know you're doing a lot on Instagram. No need to update us. We just follow you on Avo Queen. And so you really have to decide that first, you know, off the bat, because I think it gets confusing when you're trying to sell a service or a product and all of a sudden you're weaving in, you know, your mom's birthday, or it could not, you know. I think now more than ever, work and life is really like blending itself together. And there's no such thing as this work-life balance that I think we all used to think of, which is like this, you know, perfect balance. I think it's now becoming just melded together and it's really incorporating work into life in this sort of seamless, you know, beautiful, ever-evolving relationship. So, you know, to that question, I would say, what do you want to do, right? Like, do you want to have an account where, you know, you share both? Do you want to keep things separate? You know, there's no right or wrong, but it's just sort of looking inside and thinking what would work best for you. And then once you decide that, you know, you really can play around with it. For me personally, I have Avo Queen and Queen & Co., which is our brand account. And so, you know, obviously we talk much more about the product on the brand page, but, you know, I do throw it in there here and there on my personal account. I think just being really, again, organic and natural, not trying to be this sort of sleazy sales guy, you know, just think of yourself, right? Like no one likes the feeling of being sold to. But for myself, you know, for example, we have a food product and, you know, I eat it almost every day, you know, so in some form. So I'll show a story of me, you know, spreading it on toast for breakfast or incorporating it into my smoothie or making like a freezer fudge dessert with it. And it's honestly just me showing what I'm doing in my day to day. And, you know, for people that are interested in granola butter, obviously it's, I guess, selling it to them because they're finding out about it. Or maybe it's someone that's ordered in the past and then they see my story and they're like, oh yeah, I love that stuff. I really want to, you know, reorder that or try it again or try a different flavor. So it is sales in a way, but I think it doesn't feel salesy unless we're actually like running a sale on our website. And then I'll be like, hey guys, you know, flash sale, go buy some product. But I really try not to, you know, make people feel icky or, you know, sold to when they're on my page. I think there is this nuance and this finesse to really weaving it in organically. And it's just something that, you know, we're all working on. I'm working on kind of, you know, fine tuning, but yeah, I just know myself and I hate that feeling of like getting sold to. All right, that is it for today. Hopefully this was helpful. Thank you guys so much for sending in questions. They were all amazing. And I will see you next week with an interview. All right, have a good week, you guys. Bye.